previously on Dear Single Men with Tyler Magic.
And hey guys, welcome to another episode of the podcast, Dear Single Men. I just thought I should start in a different tone or different manner. But hey, this is me, Tyler Magic is my name, and I'm your host, Dear Single Men. And I want to say a big thank you to those who have been sending in their feedbacks and, you know, responses and comments. You know, people have personally, sent me DMs on my personal line and even left me messages on postcard platform that, hey, Tao, you're doing a great job. It's not as if I'm getting thousands of messages, but, you know, whenever you start something, it's important that you start small and then you grow, and I appreciate the little progress that you are making. So I'm glad at the progress we are making. I'm excited at the potential that this holds in the future. And by extension, let me say this, dear young man, whatever it is you're doing with your life, if you're doing something legitimately with your life and you have a vision and purpose you are pursuing, I want to encourage you, man, do not stop, keep moving and keep driving it, because in the end, it is going to speak. I hope you are motivated by this, because trust me, we do not stop when we are tired. We stop when we are done. All right. So keep up the faith and just keep moving ahead. In the end, you're going to be glad that you did. Okay. So welcome proper to today's episode of Dear Single Men. And I hope that this episode, it's a new series, and this episode, I believe strongly in my heart that it is going to transform how we begin, how we live our lives as young men. Every one of us as young men, we are all product of legacies. Whether you are conscious of it or not, we are all product of legacies. For example, whether you grew up with a father or not, at some point in your life, you must have had a male figure. Something must have been passed down to you. Probably how they dress, how your father dresses, you know, how he relates to people around him. Or in your community, how the male figures in your community behave, you know, respond to situations, the kind of examples that they are living, that they are setting, rather. Trust me, that's a legacy, whether I like it or not. Look at monuments all through histories. These are legacies. And our world is shaped by legacies on a daily basis. So, whether I like it or not, the present is going to shape the future. So how we lead our lives right now is going to be what is going to be referenced to times to come. Do you understand? So that is why I decided that it's high time we talk about the importance of living life intentionally with the future in mind. You know, looking into the future and taking a peep into the future and looking at how what you do now will resonate in the future. What will our sons and daughters say about us eventually? What will the world be? How are we going to influence our communities, our families? This is legacy. And so, this brand new series called Tagged Legacies, I'm going to be hosting accomplished men, fathers, married men, entrepreneurs, spiritual leaders, and name it. We'll be sharing their perspective on legacies, and different topics will be under this theme, this series, for the next four episodes of Dear Single Men. I hope that this will give us a perspective into, you know, what it means to lead a life that is lived unintentional. All right. And today on the podcast, I have with me someone who I respect so much, and we've known each other for a month now, and I love what he's doing with his podcast. He is the host of Men's Nation Podcast. His name is David E. Aguilera, and also he's also a minister of the gospel. And What's more, he's going to be sharing his own personal story with us today on the podcast. And I would like us to really pay attention and, you know, learn from his story. I've always believed in the power of storytelling, and I'm sure this is going to inspire us. We're going to look at and examine the influence of fatherhood on the quality of men that we have today. And of course, why it is so important to, you know, have a quality walk with God, as this will impact other areas of our life. The topic under the first under this series, Legacies, the first topic we're going to be discussing today is laying a spiritual foundation. This is important. Pop culture would never succeed in driving our spirituality. It's good to chill, it's good to have fun, it's good to be woke and all of that, but what's most importantly, it's good to, you know within your core that you have a quality walk with God. So that's what basically we're going to be sharing today. David E. Aguilera is next. All right, Daniel, good to connect back with you. Can you hear me?
How are you doing? Yes, I can hear you.
Very well. So, apologies for that. Just the network. So, but we're back now.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So, let's get back right into it. Right. So, you talked about, you know, how you live your life, the things your kids see you do. And it's really amazing that you have three boys already. I mean, at 34, I mean, that's really amazing, you know. And you are setting an example for them with what you're doing. I'm sure it's not going to be hard for them to be able to follow your lead, seeing that you are already setting a template for them on how to become men. All right.
Yeah, and something you mentioned a little earlier,
okay,
that they are watching what I do. Right, mm-hmm. They're listening mm-hmm. to what I do, but they're also watching what I do. So yeah, mm-hmm. that's very true. Mm-hmm.
So Daniel, just taking you up on this, I already introduced you to our audience. I share with them that you. I minister of the gospel, and you know, that's one of the reasons why I felt okay. A spiritual perspective on this requires somebody who has, you know, an understanding of, you know, spirituality, you know, especially in Christian term, when it comes to having a walk with God in this regard. Now, how did you start your journey, you know, in your own personal walk with God? Did you just start automatically? Was there an example for you? Or did it just dawn on you that, man, I got to just live this right life, you know, and all of that? What's your story like? How did you get started on this path, you know, having a quality walk with God?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, because a lot of people don't know my background and kind of how I grew mm-hmm. up. You know, not to take mm-hmm. up too much time, but I grew up in a Christian home, and my father was a minister, an evangelist, and then he was a pastor as well of a church. When I was 10 years old, my dad started pastoring a church. Wow. And so my life kind of revolved around that.
The church.
But because it revolved around, at the church and in the gospel and everything, I had positive influences around me, but I also had a lot of negative influences around me at school or with my friends. So, you know, for a while, I kind of went my own way. You know, I joined the military. I joined the Navy when I was 18 years old, and I kind of went my own way. And, you know, the military life is completely different, and it can be very challenging to live a good life and everything. So, you know, I kind of went my own way and just made a lot of mistakes, did a lot of things that, you know, kind of geared me away from the path that I should have been going.
Okay.
And, you know, I had to go through a lot. I had to experience a lot. And the way I see it now is I'm like, man, I could have invested all of that time into the time that I will never get back into really, you know, drawing closer to God and what God's purpose is for my life. But you know what? That's okay, because here I am, and I know You know, in Proverbs 22:6, it says that train up a child in the way that
he should go.
Yeah, exactly. And when he is old, he won't depart from that. And that's so true in my life because, you know, my parents, you know, I remember growing up and it was like, okay, did you read, you know, your daily scripture today? Did you read Psalms and, you know, all of that and all of that. Maybe at the time when I was a young man, when I was 20 years old and such, maybe somebody could say, well, that did him no good because he went his own path and he's not, you know, living right. But that seed that was planted inside of my heart, you know, eventually gave fruit. And so I did come to a point. I came to a point where I said, you know what? I can't live my life without God.
And I'm telling you.
Yeah, and not only can I not live my life without God, but I want everything about my life to be surrounded about Him, by Him. He's my creator. Let me just live my entire life for His honor and for His glory. And it's been a process, man. It's been a process. It hasn't been, like you said, just automatic one day to the next. No,
it's
been a process. And God continues to work in my life. He continues to change, you know, things. But it's until we come to that decision. God's a gentleman. He will wait. You know, we decide, okay, now I'm ready. Now, okay, then God will step in and start working.
And God is always waiting, you know. Yes. Whenever you're ready, He's always waiting.
Yes, that's why I love that story in the Bible about the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son, he left. He left his land, his parents' house, and went and spent all the money and wasted all the money and resources. But then he realized, it says he came to his senses and he said, man, what am I doing out here? What am I doing when I have my father's house over there with everything that I need? I had food and clothing and a roof over my head. Why am I out here suffering just because, you know, I wanted to? And so the prodigal son goes back home and it says the father is rejoicing, waiting for him, you know, and throw a feast for him when he comes back. So that's the beauty about, you know, the God we serve, is that he's there.
Definitely. He's waiting always
to make that decision. Yeah.
Patiently waiting. Patiently waiting.
Right. Yeah, very patiently.
I'm telling you. And I wish that we all could be patient with ourselves in following our process that we have to go through. You know, learning from your own story. Now, you mentioned how you had to be away for some time. But Daniel, I would like us to really get real. There are some young men who are fatherless. You know, they just gave birth to them and then their fathers are nowhere to be found. Some of them could listen to this and be like, and they could be hurting that. You know, I had no one to guide me. You know, how do I get started? And all of that. And, you know, these guys become victims of, you know, negative influence because there is virtually nobody to pull them through when, you know, they were getting started till, you know, even till now that they are adults. It will surprise you that there are 50-year-old men who do not even have a male figure in their life. They've lived their lives alone because they never got to know their fathers and, you know, they became victims. You know, some men are not so lucky to have, you know, their fathers around, and even some men who grew up knowing their fathers. Their fathers were not an example, and maybe, perhaps, their father's father was also not a good example. So for men like this, in this situation, who have had to, you know, struggle through life, trying to find the balance, you know, going in and out of jail, you know, as a result of this, you know, not having a male figure around, you know, what opportunity is available for these people, for this set of young men to, you know, have this walk with God? Or would you say that at every point in time, God would put, maybe there is this divine arrangement that God would always put someone, something in place for people like this, for men like this to walk themselves back to Him? Do you get?
Yeah, no, you know, right now what you're saying, it's so powerful. I'm getting so much conviction with what you're saying, because the Lord is bringing to my mind men that I have met, that I have spent time with, Because right now, when you said, you know, 50-year-old men, really, there can be, like you're saying, there can be men, adult men who are 50, you know, years old and have never had that positive male figure, male role model in their lives. And I'm just thinking, and I'm getting so much conviction in my heart right now about people that have been placed in my life. And I'm like, why is this individual? Why is this man, you know, why does he look for me? Why does he call me and stuff? But I'm just thinking now, if, you know, we can be a positive influence even to men who are older than us, not just younger, which is something that I hadn't thought about before until right now that you brought it up. So, so I know this is, you know, the Lord is using you to speak through that. But going back to your question, you know, I grew up with a father in my home. You know, I had my father and mother at home. But I understand, you know, that there's a lot of people, like you're saying, that grow up, a lot of men that grow up without a father in their home and sometimes without any father figure around them. So I understand that. But I also want to say that just because people grow up with a father in their home doesn't necessarily mean that they have, that they had the guidance, that they had the counseling, that they had the good examples.
Okay.
Yeah, some men, you know, may have grown up with their fathers in their home, but maybe those were, you know, bad examples, or they were just different types of lives. So you have a range of different types of men that have grown up with fathers, without fathers, you know, with good and bad, and also things in between. Yeah, so I think that the first thing for any of us to really consider, you know, like you said, what can we do now? You know, if I grew up without a father in my home, or what have you, what can I do? I think the first thing for all of us to consider is that at the end of the day, if we're an adult, if you're listening to this, at the end of the day, it's all going to come back up to you. Because,
to you.
Yes, because that's where the responsibility kicks in. You know, we like to, especially here in America, man, here in the U.S., a lot of people like to demand their rights. You know, like, these are my rights, and these are my rights.
Yes.
You know, and that's fine. But we have to understand that in order for somebody to have rights, somebody else must have responsibility. There must be responsibility on the other end. So, you know, it makes me think that all of us that are listening to this as men, we have to understand that it starts with us. We have to come to a point where we realize and say, okay, you know, maybe I grew up like this. Yes, you know, I understand that it hasn't been easy, that it's been a journey or what have you. But what do I do? What can I do now to take responsibility for my own life, first of all?
Where I am now.
Yeah, now where I'm at. And then from here on out, then allow God to work in me so that I can influence others around me. And there's a lot you can do. There's a lot you can do. And I think that it all starts with God. I gave a Bible study yesterday through Facebook Live, and it talked about purpose. And the very first point that I talked about was, it all starts with God.
It begins with God.
Yes, everything has to start there in order for us to be able to take that responsibility. You know, and it takes me back to in Matthew 19, where it talks about Jesus said that, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them.
It's within them, yes.
Yeah, because unless we realize that our mind is again like children, that means we have to let go of everything. You know, as adults, we sometimes we're hard to forgive. We hold resentment. We put walls and barriers and. But how are, you know, how do kids act? Kids forgive right away. You know, they make friends right away, and it's like, you know, it's okay, and they move on and they get over things. Unless we as men can have that heart again and realize, I need to be like a child before God, and allow Him to do what He needs to do. I think that there's always hope. There is always.
I was going to mention that is the key word. There is always hope for any man who is listening to us now, who feels like, well, I've never had a male figure in my life. I've never had someone to put me through. I've been left alone. I had an abusive father. We just wanted to know that there is always hope. And God, in His infinite mercy and His wisdom, divine orchestration, would always have, would always plant someone, a message, a situation that will give you the opportunity to work your way back to him.
Yeah.
That's just the truth. And there is no purpose without God. Right. Trust me.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because yes. we could try to find purpose in so many other things. As we do as human beings, we try to find our purpose, you know, in our jobs, in our careers, and so many other things, especially as young men, you know, going out there and trying to seek that party life or whatever that may be. But at the end of the day, you know, we're going to realize we're going to waste our time. We're going to realize that they don't true.
You know, true purpose comes from God. And you know, you're living in purpose when you have this, you know, sense of urgency, you know, to want to, you know, truly follow a path that God has given to you. There will be this conviction in your heart, knowing fully well that, man, this is actually what God is calling me to do. And until you do that, whatever you do, you won't get satisfaction from it.
Yes, I mean,
have you had to experience that? That, you know, this thing is just in your heart, and you know that until you do that, you can't be satisfied.
Right, right. That sense of urgency, man, what you're talking about, you're absolutely on point. That's how you know you're walking in God's purpose. I love listening to a pastor, a preacher who was from the Bahamas. He passed away now, but his name is Miles Monroe. And
God bless his soul.
Yes, yes. And he talks about, you know, how when he discovered his purpose at a very young age, he was
15. I think he said it was 15.
Yeah, he was very young.
Was 15.
And he operated from a sense of urgency after that point. And I do believe that God used him and everything, you know, to his full potential. And he said, you know, in his
preaching,
I want to die empty. I want to die empty. I don't want to die full of what God wants me to do here. I want to do it all. And then boom, you know, then okay, then it's time to go. And yeah, that's how we ought to live our lives, whether you're 15 years old, you're 40, 50 years old, you know, with that sense of urgency.
Dana, you know, I asked myself some questions this week while I was just examining how I've lived my life so far. I'm 27. I clocked 27 March this year. I just finished my first degree, and you know, I'm looking to, you know, do some other stuff with my life. But then I assess my life, and then I ask myself, so far so good. What have I been able to achieve? Like when I'm out of here, what will I have gained? And you know, I made the list of 5 things that I know that maybe when I'm gone, people might remember me for it, at least my community. You know, change begins, impact begins from the community and then to the rest of the world. Yes. You understand? So I know that I still more to do, but I'm glad that, you know, assessing myself, I've been able to do a little, but I know there is more to do. And you know, it's important that, you know, a mustard seed, if planted, becomes a giant tree.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So, you know, your purpose can start small, but as you begin to do it, as you begin to work towards it, and God helping you, it becomes big within your eye, before your eyes, and that's important. But Daniel, this brings me to something I'd like us to look at next. Daniel, look at our society. In the US, I know that 70% of men are in prison in the US. 70% of inmates, rather, sorry, 70% of those who are inmates, over 70% of inmates in the United States of America are male, according to a recent survey that I read. And this is a big problem, because men who are supposed to be, you know, role models, figures, and all of that, they are behind bars, you know, correctional facilities, arrested for crimes, drug-related offenses, and so many, many other things. Now, this is a challenge for the younger generation, because we have seen the effect of this in teenagers. We have 15-year-old gangbangers, you know, who who are members of mafia, knifing, people to get initiated into these gangs and all of that. We see that because the models are like that. Now, this is a challenge. Now, from your own perspective, what do you think is one of the biggest challenges for young men in this time, in this age, in pursuing, a walk with God? I'm sure some people have had the opportunity to be spoken to, and they're like, "Well, I'm not ready for that life yet, man. I'm not ready to give anything to God, man. That's new God. I gotta live my life, all of that." So, the challenge for young men pursuing this walk with God, what would you say they are, from your own
Yeah, no,
perspective?
that's good. I mean, that's it gives you so much perspective to understand that. I think that no matter who you are in the world, the enemy is after men and young men in particular, because like you said, of all the people in jail, 70% of them are men, and the enemy knows that he comes after the man in one way or another, and then he can start destroying families, and just because it all starts like in community, like you said. So if I start, if he starts destroying families, and then from there the community, it's a weak community, destroy you, you have
Community.
gangs, all drugs, all sorts of things, and then from there the countries, and it just keeps going from there. I think that there is a war right now, against men, against masculinity, the way it's been portrayed. I mean, any show that you watch on TV, I have to be careful with the shows that I allow my kids to watch, because yeah,
Very
even some of
important.
these shows that are shows, they're not bad shows, but the man is portrayed in the show
Yet image. Oh
as
my
somebody who's,
goodness.
just not really taking responsibility for his actions, and he's just there, and they make it kind of like a funny thing, but in reality, what's happening is that these young men,
They are creating a perception.
yes, they're creating a perception like, oh, this is okay, this is the norm for you as a young man, as a man, to act this way. And that's the thing, is that no, it's not. Like, we need to
Not, it's
teach our
not.
kids, we need to teach our young men, we need to take responsibility. We need to take responsibility. We need to step up to the plate. As young men, I wish I would have had more role models in my life when I was a teenager that would say, tell me, hey, you snap out of it. You need to take responsibility for these actions, and really. And what you mentioned is, some young kids and young guys like, well, I want to live my life. I'm not ready for the things of God right now. Well, it reminds me. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, he says, remember your creator in the days of your youth, before the day of evil and the years draw near, to which you'll say, I have no pleasure in them. But it's a change of perspective, because even religion or spirituality or believing in God or being a Christian almost has been portrayed as something for like old people. Been portrayed as something boring, something you do when you're older, and so forth. And the reality of it is that a relationship with God is so much more than that, so much more. And it can empower you if you're 10 years old, if you're 12 years old, if you're 15, it can empower you to transform your life, to transform the lives of others. And it's something exciting that you would want to drop everything else just to do that, no matter how old you are. So I think there's a lot of challenges that we're facing right now in our society that are facing young men right now. Like I said, that perspective thing is a big one, that they, there's a picture being painted to young men that it's okay to be this way. It's okay just to kind of relax and drift and have fun. I think it all comes down to a balance. It all comes down to balance and encouraging these young men. But when you realize, I mean, it goes back to like Miles Monroe talks about, he had a realization when he was 15, about what his life could be like. After that was it, man. He was on fire. What do you do when you're, yeah, what do you do
Decision.
when you're on fire? When, like, literally, if you were to catch on fire, you would be going crazy all over the place. You're like, ah, I'm on fire, you know? And that's how it is when you find out the treasure that you have inside of you, the treasure that's inside of the Word of God. Like, yeah.
Gift.
Yeah, you're not going to want to let it go. You're going to want to, you know, just pursue that. And it reminds me about a verse when I was a kid, my parents, my dad used to always read Proverbs every day. So depending on the day of the month, like today's the 29th, he would the 27th, he would say, okay, today you read chapter 27, right? Yeah. It reminds me of Proverbs 7 where it says, keep my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments. It says, bind them to your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. If you as a young person, you learn how to do that, write them down in the tablet of your heart, man, your whole life will change. And no matter how many negative influences are around you, you're going to pursue your purpose.
Okay, now, you know, I'd like us to share, you know, people. We are encouraging people to desire to leave a legacy. And one of the legacies you can leave is pursuing a quality relationship with God. At the same time, we must be able to share with people from our own personal experience how this quality relationship and work with God has impacted and influenced our lives to a large extent. You know, that way, you know, many people will appreciate, young men will appreciate, you know, why, you know, pursuing the quality work with God is important. So for you as a young man, and now that where you are now, your work with God, how has it impacted other areas of your life? What has changed? You know, what was it before and what it is now? You know, I believe that this will help people, young men, to appreciate and see the need to want to have a quality work.
Yeah, what a great question, because ultimately I think that's what's in the mind of young people. If there's young men listening to this right now, or they're going to listen to this later, I think that's going to be in the mind of them. Like, what tangible things?
What does it mean?
You know, and there's so many things in my personal life and my personal experience. I can sit here and talk to you all night about so many things that have changed in my life. But, you know, I've seen literally the impossible come to the possible in my own life. I mean, you know, years back, my marriage, I know you complimented me earlier. You said, you know, you have a beautiful family, and I appreciate you saying that. Thank you for your compliment. But you know, years back, I would have never imagined myself having the family that I do now, my wife, and how we work together, and how, you know, we encourage each other and whatnot. You know, I've had some really bad experiences in my life and gone through a lot of different situations, but you know, I would have imagined to be where I'm at now, even in the state that I live in now, and how we are right now. I would have imagined that. I grew up in South Texas, in the state of Texas, and my life was just completely different. And we moved up here about 6 years ago, and I began to see God working in ways that I never could have. I mean, from the smallest thing to the biggest thing, you know, I started seeing my marriage come together, become stronger. We're able to communicate better, you know, and even in the material things as well, like so many things that I never thought. Yeah. You know, we used to live at this tiny little apartment, and we had three of our kids at the time. And, you know, it was crowded. It was a very bad area, you know. The kids had nowhere to play. You know, it was a really bad situation. I thought, man, no way for me to get out of here. You know, I don't have the credit. I don't have the money. And God just began to open doors, you know, for us to I remember praying to God one time, just saying, Lord, man, I wish I had a house where my kids can play in the backyard at least, you know? And wow. then boom, and then God made it happen, and we rented a house. And I prayed again, God, wow. yeah, I wish we could buy our own house. And we had $0 wow. in the bank account, man, like $0, no down payment. My credit wasn't that great. And again, God shows up and opens up doors, and we're able to.
That's good. Impossible.
And we're able to, you know, buy. But those are small things compared to really what's happened in my life. I mean, me being ordained. You saw the ordination video online.
Yeah. Sorry. Congratulations once again.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that just goes to show what God can do. Like, who wouldn't want to live their lives, you know, at the maximum of their ability, of their calling, what God has given you, alongside with your wife, with your spouse, with your children, and living that life. I literally had people tell me, man, you have such a, like, ideal life, or you have a great, you know, family and all of this stuff. And I'm just in awe. I'm in awe of God, of what God can do, because God knows that I don't deserve it. You know, I don't deserve all of this, but God's mercy and his grace and his favor is.
We do not deserve it. It is just the grace of God. Yeah. Like, you know?
Grace, and we could talk about a whole other podcast always. About the grace of God, man. But you know, I have seen the grace of God work in my marriage and my family and my wife. And you know, we were just having a conversation, my wife and I, today, and we're like, you know what? We're continuing to learn. Like, maybe we don't understand everything, but we both tell each other, hey, look at how we're communicating now. We can communicate, and we say to each other, wow. Well, I don't really understand that, but it's okay. You know, I understand. Yeah. I still love you. I'm still here. You know, and to me that sounds something just powerful, because, like I said, the enemy's going to try to come and destroy families and destroy marriages. And I know that, you know, but holding on to God's hand and doing all of that from a young age, you'll strengthen your relationship with God and your relationship with your family.
Well, that's really so important that you had to, you know, mention that. And, you know, one thing I've been able to draw from my entire conversation is that it pays to, you know, have a quality walk with God, and it comes with all of the benefits. And yet we are not just doing it for ourselves alone, having a quality walk with God. We are laying the foundation for generations to come. For example, the story of the Israelites is one that, you know, that it is founded on legacy. All through in the history of the Israelites, you make mention of great men like Abraham, you know, men like David, and all the things that they've been able to do. Until today, they still celebrate David's day in Israel. That's to show how, you know, important this relationship with God is. If you look at the story of David, it's not just a biblical story. It is a classical story of a young man who had to, you know, start from a young age. And it even impacted his own son as well. You know, Solomon was one of the examples of you know, legacy that was passed down. And that's what we're talking about. We want young men to begin living life intentionally, bearing in mind that our actions and inactions today is not just going to affect us, but it's going to affect those who are around us and those who will come out from us. It's like a seed. And of course, any seed we plant, whatever I sow to the ground, will definitely sprout.
And you just don't know what God has for you. Like, you don't know. It doesn't matter how your situation looks like. You know, like you mentioned David and stuff. And you just, you know, you could be anywhere in any point of your life. You can be out in the fields working. You could be, you know, picking food, or you can be out there digging, you know, you could be doing, it doesn't matter. Like, I remember being in those situations. I remember being a janitor for a fast food restaurant and cleaning windows and cleaning the toilet. at one point.
Wow.
And feeling bad for myself, like, oh man, you know, like my this sucks or whatever. But you know what? I wrote something down right now, what you mentioned a little earlier, and and don't mind me if I quote you, but you said be patient in your own process. And how powerful is that to understand that, to be patient in our own process, because you just don't know where God takes you. It's something so great.
Do not know. Okay, I'm glad we've been able to share and rub minds. We can't conclude your conversation on in a single podcast, you know, but because I know that, you know, this is a conversation that we could say it in part, we could say this aspect, and then you move on, look at it from another perspective, and then it is wider than we think it is. Do you get? But you know, as a married man, you made mention of something that, just to drag this a little bit, you made mention of your wife and how she has been so supportive. All right. And I'm sure that is one of the reasons why your marriage has been so strong, or, you know, up until now. And I'm confident that is how it's going to be for a very long time. Now, how, you know, how is your wife able to, you know, stick with you during those times, and, you know, having to, you know, run the ministry together with you, and, you know, support you in what you're doing, you know? All right, I just thought I should ask.
Yeah, you know, it's been a process. It's been a journey for us as a marriage, as a couple. I think that one thing that I can say that comes to my mind initially is that I know that, you know, us being married, my wife and I, was God ordained. Because we have learned and grown so much from each other and seasons of our lives. And my wife tells me now, she's like, you sowed this seed in me. And you know, because she'll be saying something, I'll be like, wow, that's great. Like, man, that's powerful. Wow. Like, that's encouraging me. It's motivating me. You know, it's giving me what I need right now. You turn around and say, you told me this, you know, 5 years ago, or you told me this when we first got married. And I think that that's the key right there, is that we kind of both feed off of each other. Sometimes I'm pouring into her. Sometimes she's pouring into me. Because it's a process and it's a journey. And sometimes I feel like, oh man, I don't know. You know, I feel down, or even with the podcast, you know, it's like, oh man, walk back. It's like, I don't know if I should continue this. And like, what do you mean you don't know you should continue this? Like, of course you need to continue this. Look, you know, so
then she inspires you again. She gives you a reason to do it.
Absolutely. And I think that that's been so important for us to learn in our marriage, that it's both of us. It's, we both go back and forth, and you know, and we just keep going that way, because if it's just based on one person, then it's too much of a load. And I think that's why God ordained it that way. He said when he made Adam, he said it's not good for man to be alone, because it, you know, that woman's meant to be his helpmate. And then and it really is like that. We go back and forth, and we pour into each other, and sometimes I'm feeling a little down, or sometimes she's feeling a little down, and we kind of just feed off of each other. And that's how God, you know, with God's favor. And
how lovely. That's really sweet to know that, you know, you have an amazing wife who is supportive, who understands what it is to be and help me. You know, there's so many girlfriends all over the world today, and, you know, just girlfriends, and, you know, some of the things that, some of the stories we've heard and all of that. But it's really exciting. And I'm sure that young men will have it in your trouble marriage. My listen to them and be like, why don't I give it a thought? Why don't I consider, you know, committing my marital life into God's hands and see how it helped me and direct me to have my own spouse? I think what you've shared should, of course, inspire young men to want to, you know, see marriage as a beautiful thing.
And I just
want
to say really quickly, I know we've gone way over on the time, but I just want to say really, thank you. I just want to say really quickly, you know, right now you're talking about all of that. you know, with my wife and everything, you know, she just told me today, actually, earlier today, we were talking about how she's come to the understanding that it's not a competition, you know, in a marriage. You know, we've both learned so much because we've had to go through our own experiences, and God has shown us so many different things. And I think maybe one time you could maybe invite her on the podcast too, so she can share as well, you know, and her experience about it.
Wow.
But that it's not a competition. I think that's what ends up happening a lot of the times, especially in marriages at the beginning. Not that you do it intentionally, but kind of we have this thing where like, oh, you know, I'm a man, so it's got to be my way. And then the woman like
that way
to be good enough, and she's struggling with her self-esteem. So like, it's like, it almost becomes a competition. And it's like, my wife just told me earlier today, like, I've come to an understanding. God has showed me, like, no, I'm here to compliment you. We compliment each other and we help. Yeah. So yeah, it truly has been in that way. And it's just, you know, thanks to the mercy of God, man.
I'm really glad to hear that. And I can't imagine, you know, the kind of stable environment that your sons are enjoying right about now as a result of this, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That is very true. That's one thing that we try to be purposeful with the environment around. Just this week, I told my wife, I said, I ordered some books for my kids. So every day I take a break from work, and especially now that I'm working, I take a break from work and I go and I give them a Bible lesson, you know, and then I have to do a coloring. And so, yeah, it's just, it can touch so many areas of your life if you truly hold on to this, man.
Thank you very much, Daniel. I'm afraid we just have to, you know, pause here. I'm not going to say stop, pause here. And you know, subsequently, we should be able to do something like this. I'm hoping that I'll be able to have, you know, young men who could do another episode on this, you know, young men like minds, and we get to, you know, rub minds more and, you know, see how we could progress and help other people. Absolutely. Other young men on, you know, in this regard. You know, I dream of a generation whereby the men are firebrands, godly men, setting examples, and they are changing their families, transforming their communities. You know, when you ask your son, or when you ask a son, what do you want to be like? And the next thing that comes out of their mouth is, I want to be like my father. That is the future that I see for men, and it is possible. When our sons begin to look at us like, this is a model. When our daughters begin to look at us like, this is the kind of man I want to be with. You know, that's the future I see. And we have to keep doing this. And I believe that God's wisdom and God's grace is available for us to make this possible. One person at a time, one man at a time, and then we're transforming our world by a special.
Yes, amen, amen. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the podcast, and hopefully we get to do.
Thank you too.
We'll get to have you on my podcast as well.
Definitely, anytime you make the call, I'll be more than willing to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and have a great. How do I say bye bye in Spanish now?
Adios or hasta luego.
Adios. Yes, adios. Is it hasta la fuego?
Hasta luego is like kind of like see you later.
Hasta luego. Okay, I don't worry. Next time we do this, trust me, I'm going to be speaking Spanish. Okay.
Awesome, man. Can't wait.
Okay. All right. Cheers. Have a great
day. Yeah, God bless you. Take care. Bye.
God bless you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Dear Single Men. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please like, comment, and subscribe. You can connect with Tayo Magics on various social media platforms, on Facebook and Instagram at Magic with Tayo.